is called, if I had to title the sharing today, I would title it, Our God is Smart. Do you want to know a secret? The one body. And what I'm going to be sharing from the word today is called that it was hid in God until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. So I wanted to do a brief review of the Word of God because the Word of God says of itself that it is the truth when it comes to the things of God. And we can always rely on what the Word says because the Word is truth. In Psalm 138, verse 2, the Bible says that God has magnified his Word above his name. Wow, that's pretty powerful. In 1 Timothy 2, 4, it says that God wants all men and women to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Not a knowledge of a truth, the knowledge of the truth. In John 17, 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 8, 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 2 Timothy 3, 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. You can read the rest of that verse. It's pretty exciting. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 says, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private or one's own interpretation. For the prophecy, the word of God, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? John 4, 24 says, God is spirit. When you get born again of God's Spirit by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, you're born again of God's Spirit. Therefore, God can communicate with you. And Galatians 1, 11 and 12 says, I certify or I guarantee you, brethren, this is Paul writing by revelation, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation from Jesus Christ. And finally, the last verse I wanted to summarize is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13, and it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that effectually worketh also in you that believe. So to get into the greatness of, or the fabulous word of God today on the subject of God's secret or the one body, I would like to start in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Now I'm going to be quoting from the King James Version of the Bible today, but you can use whatever Bible you're comfortable with. I use the King James Bible because I grew up on it, and so I'm pretty familiar with it. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 29:29, and Deuteronomy 29:29, I'm sure it's up there on the screen. It says that, let's see, I'll get there. Deuteronomy 29:29, listen to this. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There's some things in the Bible that's talked about that we probably won't have an answer for now. But there are other things, there are other secrets, there are other keys in the Bible that sometimes, like the topic I'm speaking about today, was hid with God and it wasn't revealed, this topic, until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. And while you're turning there, I just want to mention that in God's word, God has a purpose for everything he says, where he says it, why he says it, how he says it, to whom he says it, when he says it. God has reasons for what he says in his word. And there's lots of things in there that inspire us to read more and study more, because we find out from God's word exactly who we are when we get born again of God's Spirit and who God has made us. All right, Romans, Acts, Romans, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel. This is Paul writing by revelation from God. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So this mystery or this secret, according by Paul writing by revelation, was kept secret since the world began. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to delve into this secret, which for me was one of the most exciting things I ever heard from God's word in my entire life. In fact, I was just an unbeliever, but the overwhelming evidence from the Bible of the Bible being true changed my mind as a young man. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 17. It says there that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places far above all principality and power and might and dominion. In every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world to come, or which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, Jesus Christ, his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. That's just over a couple of pages. And we'll start out, we can start out in verse 1, chapter 3. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation or administration of grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. Afore in a few words. What words? We just read the words that Paul wrote previously in Romans. Verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which, listen to this, which in other ages, plural, was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here it is. What is the secret? What was the mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What happened when Jesus Christ was sent? He got rejected because they were expecting this big military hero that was going to come in and free them from Roman oppression and everything like that. And when that wasn't exactly took place at that point, they rejected. And so God made it available for the Gentiles also. There's more in the book of Acts about some of this, but for time's sake, I won't be able to go there today. Anyway, that the Gentiles, verse 6, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the un- searchable or untrackable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Well, how do you like that? 1 Corinthians 10:32 says there are three classifications of people: Jews, Gentiles, and Church of God. And praise the Lord, we belong to the Church of God. I feel like jumping up and down. Hey, God has made it available for us to be a part of the one body. And you're going to find, as I continue, that this secret is continuing to be mentioned here. How do we become part of the one body? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how we join the body of Christ. We confess Jesus Christ as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead. And I know there's sharings out there at time to time that say, oh, it takes work. It's not what Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 says. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Hey, 1 Peter 1:23 says, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Let's examine this mystery or secret a little further. Look at Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 24. If anyone's there and they'd like to read that, go right ahead. All right, I will. Actually, I love reading it. All right, listen to this. This is probably one of the most amazing truths in the Word right here. Colossians 1, 20, I'll start in verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation or administration of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Here we go. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages, plural, and generations, plural, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery or secret among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, praise the Lord. Christ in us. When we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, we believe God raised him from the dead. It's Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. By the way, you ever think about the word Christian? It says in Acts 11:26 that the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. And Paul ended up in Antioch because Barnabas and Paul were in Antioch. I think it was about a year. And what was happening there, Paul had received the revelation about the riches of the glory of the mystery when you're born again of God's Spirit, that it is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hey, how many places could Jesus Christ be when he was on the earth? He was in Galilee. He was in Jerusalem. He was born in Bethlehem. How many places can Jesus Christ be today when Christians who know the word speak it forth and it's Christ in you? Remember that there's that verse, I don't remember where it is, but it says that where two or more agree, I am there. Think about that. Christ in you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're getting into the heart of this secret mystery that our God, who is so smart, he's always been one step ahead, sometimes many steps, but in particular, there are times when God has been one or two steps ahead of our adversary, and you would think he is smart. Our God is smart. There's a whole nother sharing on that, and I don't want to get off track from what I'm trying to share with you today. But listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I am sure some of you have read these verses before, but we'll start in, I think I'm starting in verse 1, actually, of 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you and came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. This is Paul writing by revelation. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or well-learned. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Listen to this, verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew it, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What does that mean? That means that if Satan and all his minions would have known the result of crucifying Jesus Christ and the greatness of us getting born again of God's Spirit and being part of the one body, Satan would have never done it. He would have never done it. Because of the ramifications of the one body to which you and I belong. How many times did Christ try and wipe out the Christ line after the promise was given in Genesis 3, where God promised to send Jesus? How many times did he try and do that? Well, Herod, remember Herod? Wipe out all the babies, 2 years and under. Esther. Haman got the king to say that on one day all the Jews were going to be wiped out, killed. But thank God for Mordecai and Esther. What about Genesis 6? What happened in Genesis 6, which resulted in the flood? What they did is they screwed up the genetics. You've read about the giants in the Bible. They screwed up the genetics because they were trying to make it so Jesus Christ would never be born. That's what Satan figured. Well, how are you going to do this if Jesus can never be born? And they tried to screw up the genetics. And that's why God sent the flood. Because every thought and intent of man and women's heart was only evil all the time. That's what the word says at that time. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what happened when Jesus Christ was in his resurrected body? I like the quote from the NIV a little better than the King James. I'm sure we'll have the King James up here. But this is what it says in 1 Peter 3:18 through 20 in the NIV. It says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, after being made alive." So this is after he was raised from the dead. "He went and made a proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water." What does that mean? Basically, Jesus Christ. These spirits or these fallen angels, they gave up their freedom because they were so thinking they were going to be successful trying to wipe out the Christ line when Jesus Christ was in his resurrected body. There are other verses that talk about this in the epistles. I don't have time to go to them today, but I'm paraphrasing here. This is what I think happened. Jesus Christ walked in and said, "Hello, boys. I bet you're excited to see me." And it says the word is carousoed, which means basically he trumpet blasted them. So it was something like this. Hey, boys, you gave up your freedom to keep me from coming, and you have lost. Because our God is smart. God had it all figured out. Look at, why would he have not crucified Jesus Christ, Satan? Because it's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in me. What does 1 John 5:19 say? It says, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. It's right before Revelation. Well, right before Jude, which is close to 1 John 5:19 says, and we know we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The NIV thinks, I think the NIV says that the whole world is under the control of the evil one, or under the sway of the evil one. God is ultimately in control of everything in the end. But God does not control our free will. If I decide to go do whatever, it's not God's fault. If I go out, drink too much, drive into a tree and die, that's not God's fault. That was my stupidity using my free will to do what I did. So the world's under the control of the evil one, but he's not under control of us, because 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them who? The evil spirits, the devil, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is in us? It's Christ in us. Christ in us. So we don't have to be afraid and worry about that. But listen, don't think the world for one minute would be the way it is today if God was in control of the world. You want to know what the world's going to be like when God is in control? Revelation 21, 1 through 4. No more death, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain. The former things are passed away, and all things become new. Once we get born again of God's Spirit and we become a Christian, the best analogy I can think about is it's like we're behind enemy lines. We have our God who will do everything he possibly can do to help us and has made it available for us to be successful. But I'm sure you've read the book of Revelation and other places. There is a time coming when it's going to be different. And what happened? How do we know that's true? Well, think about Luke. Luke 4:6. The devil took Jesus Christ up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world. And he said, hey, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I will give you these because they have been delivered unto me. When were they delivered? Genesis 3. By the way, Eve gets such a bad rap. I don't know why it's like that. It wasn't Eve, it was Adam. If you read Genesis 2, Adam knew that was off limits, that tree. The Bible says Eve was deceived. Adam just willingly did it. Anyway, hey, amen. That's right, that's right. So, our response at times when we are hit in the world with whatever is just like Jesus Christ's response was, it is written. It is written. Jesus Christ quoted Satan and said, it is written. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I was thinking, is there chapters in Peter? Yes, there are. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're talking about this mystery, this secret that was hid in God for ages and generations until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And the secret or the mystery is the one body to which you and I belong. You and I belong. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 10. Of which salvation The prophets, having inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that would follow. What were they searching for? What were those prophets of old searching for? They were searching for the time period of the one body to which we live in right now. They read in the Old Testament. They knew all about the sufferings of Christ. They knew all about him in his glory. But what they didn't know and what they were diligently searching for is the time period that we live in right now, the time of the beauty of the one body. And why couldn't they find it? Because our God knows how to keep a secret. And he didn't release it and he didn't reveal it until he told the Apostle Paul. Oh, it's so exciting. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke, take a look at Luke. All right, Luke chapter 4. These few verses I'm going to read here changed my life when I was a 22-year-old unbeliever. That's exactly what I was. All right, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Listen to this. And when he, Jesus Christ, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue for the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he, Jesus Christ, found the place where it was written, did Jesus Christ know the word? Absolutely. You know, there weren't chapter headings and verses and all that back then. It was just running text. I'm just amazed it says Jesus Christ found the place where it was written. And let's see, what verse am I in here? Thank you. And this is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to them that are blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Period. And he closed the book. Go to Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus Christ stopped right in the middle of reading this text in Isaiah. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah chapter 61. This is how minutely accurate the Word of God is. The original God-breathed Word does not have errors, does not have contradictions. Oh, they've crept in over the years, translation. People teach stuff because they so much want it to be that way. There's one verse that they could be interpreted a certain way. There's 20 verses that say something else, and what happens? The one verse gets elevated above the 20. That's not honest, sound, biblical interpretation. If people do that, they have to be able to give good scriptural answers for the 20 verses that are different than what the one verse is. But anyway, here's Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of Isaiah 61. This is where Jesus Christ was reading from in Luke that we just read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Here it is. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Comma. What did Jesus Christ do? He put a period there. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Why did Jesus Christ stop in Luke right in the middle of that verse and did not read the rest of that verse? I'm glad you asked. Because the reason he stopped is because if he would have read the rest of that verse, the whole Bible would fall to pieces for accuracy. Why? Because the day of vengeance of our God is not yet come. But there is a time coming. There is a time coming when the day of vengeance of our God is going to happen. It's in the book of Revelation, and we are going to live forever in our new bodies. No more death, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain. Former things are passed away. All things become new. All right, look at a little further into this secret. We have a few more verses to go here. I think they're going to bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm really getting excited now because I know what I already read in here. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 12:12. That was easy to remember. Now, we're talking about in 1 Corinthians 12:12 here, we're talking about the body of Christ, the church of the body to which you and I belong. God's secret that he didn't reveal until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And what is the result of the one body? Verse 12:12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Remember, we read that verse in 1 Corinthians 10:32, Jews, Gentiles, Church of God. Whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If an ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, listen to this, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, hey, I don't have any need of you either. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be the more feeble are the more necessary. What does that mean? I can tell you what that means. I'm glad. Each one of us are members of the body. Whatever your strong suit is, whatever you are good at in what you do in the body, this is what God expects you to be doing. Doing it. Not everybody's going to be an evangelist. Not everyone's going to be a pastor. Not everyone's going to be a teacher. Not everyone is going to be what someone else is in the body. And you know what? We're not supposed to be, because we are all special to God. No one in the body is more important than anyone else in the body of Christ. Nobody. I don't care what you do. There's only one that is more important than everyone else, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming back to get us in the future. Anyway, what verse here? 26, I think I ended. 12, 26. Okay, that there, let's see, verse 23. Thank you. And those members of the body, listen to this, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Listen, whatever you do in the body of Christ is important. You are important to God. None of us are more important. None of us. We're all important. Just like it said, the hand, the feet, we're all important to God. What's important? That's right. Amen. We should be, whatever we do, we should be doing it. That's the important thing. We're all going to get rewarded for what we do. The Bible says in Matthew 16, 27 that Jesus Christ is going to come with his angels and reward every one of us for the work that we have done. Come on, don't you want to collect a bunch of rewards? Why not? Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one to another or for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, each one of us, you. We are all members of the body of Christ in particular. We're all important. And God, our God is smart. He's figured it out a long time ago. In the end, we win. Jesus Christ got up from the dead. We got born again of God's Spirit. We're going to get our new bodies in the future. We can communicate with God right now. But the time is coming in the future when things are going to be different because Jesus Christ is the head. He's coming back. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as a famous minister once said, he's going to shake some ear balls and buck some heads or something. When he comes back, he is the righteous judge. So we're going to close out here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're all waiting this day, or many of us are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. God doesn't want us to be stupid. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. Asleep means dead. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or dead in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. Listen to this. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, who are living on the earth, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And those words are comforting. And the last verse I'm going to read, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Sometime read the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. It will blow you away. It is just fabulous. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to start in verse 56. The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do have the victory coming for sure. And what does God want us to do in the meantime? Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know your labor, the work that you do is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming back. And this time when he comes back, they're not going to kick him. They're not going to spit on him. They're not going to put a crown of thorns on his head. They're not going to hang him on the tree, the cross. None of that. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're going to be with him forever. So the time period that you live in right now of the one body, although sometimes it's challenging, no doubt, it's a great time because we can get born again of God's Spirit and become part of God's family, and we can help others do the same because God resurrected Christ his son. Amen. Thank you. We have a song for you. Thank you. What's that? Yeah. What about it?